Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Andrew Rains with you for your Wednesday morning, October 17 of 2018. Blue Sapphire Stakes Day today as well, so good luck to you if you scored a day off work and heading to Caulfield a little later on. Let's start the Breakfast Bite this morning with the cricket news from overnight. Good news for the Aussies. They've dismissed Pakistan on day one, all out, although they did lose two wickets late in the day. Nathan Lyon, the star, with four wickets in the innings as Pakistan were bowled out for 282.
Yeah! Through the gate. Fantastic bowling again by Nathan Lyon. He's on fire. Babar Azam has to go for a duck as well. Mickey Arthur cannot believe it.
Four wickets in six balls for Gary. The Aussies 2 for 20, trailing by 262 with eight wickets remaining. More from the scorecard shortly and all the Sheffield Shield scores as well. Good news for the Vics yesterday. Let's head now to the footy world where there was a couple of deals done yesterday. We saw Tom Scully become a Hawk and we saw Aaron Hall head from the Suns to North Melbourne. Here's his manager, Liam Pickering.
I think he's got some versatility the way he plays. So he can play midfield, inside mid, he can play wing and he can play half back. So I think he's got some tricks as well. So I think it'll strengthen up what's already looking to be a pretty formidable midfield.
Plenty to get through on the Breakfast Bite this morning. We'll also check in with a Wigs cap, Chris Waller. We'll hear from him in about 10 minutes' time.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Very busy Breakfast Club on your Wednesday morning. A lot to get through. We'll head to the US early and check in with our US sports correspondent, Duncan McKenzie McCarg. He was in the studio last Friday. Now he's waiting for the Celtics and 76ers to kick off the NBA season. So we'll chat to him. He'll be inside the stadium at 6:30 this morning. Kiramara and Mick Price, a couple of big guns this morning on the early mail. We'll head to New Zealand with Lisa Alexander, the Diamonds coach. Ollie Goss, who's retiring from golf, had a really promising career. And then within 2 years, has pulled up stumps on his career. Tom Slingsby, sailor, gold medalist from the Olympics, will join us as well. Magic Door after 8 o'clock, and also John Hastings as well on day one of the second test. And we might start the Breakfast Bite there as well. As I mentioned off the top, Pakistan dismissed for 282, Australia 2 for 20. From seven overs, losing Peter Sill, unfortunately, on the last ball of the day after he went in as the night watchman. So just running through the scorecard, Azamin off the top, 94. He was magnificent till he was dismissed by Lavashane, who did really well again with the ball. He also dismissed Ahmed, who made 94. So two wickets for Lavashane of that Pakistan batsman in the 90s. Good news for him. And Nathan Lyon was the chief destroyer at the top of the order, dismissing Ali, Sahail, Shafiq and Azam in, as I mentioned before, four wickets within six balls. He ended up with 4 for 78 from 27 overs, 3 for 45 for Lavashane off 12 overs with some pretty handy leg spin. Mitch Marsh, 1 for 21. And Mitchell Stark took 2 for 37. So a pretty good bowling performance by the Australians. In reply, 2 for 20. The star from the first test match, Usman Khawaja, he was out 3 from 13 balls, caught by Ahmed off the bowling of Abbas. Aaron Finch is not out, 13 from 19 at the crease, and he'll be joined by Sean Marsh when play resumes around 5 o'clock this afternoon, Australian Eastern Daylight Time. We'll head around the Sheffield Shield scores very shortly. Plenty of action, including some good news for the Victorians and young Will Pukowski, but more on that in just a second. We'll head now to the AFL world, where the trade week wraps up finally. It's been a marathon effort. And at 8:30 tonight, that will be it for Trade Week in 2018. Cameron Joyce spoke yesterday. He is head of footy at North Melbourne. Pretty happy with another acquisition. Aaron Hall this time from the Suns.
Yeah, great to get Aaron. We're always keen to add him to our list. Add some speed and ability to get out of the contest. And he's a really good kick of the footy. He can play multiple roles. So, we're excited to have him on board.
So Aaron Hall down to North Melbourne, another running pickup for them, who should complement both Jasper Pittard, who they picked up from Port Adelaide earlier, and of course Jared Pollock. That deal going through early in trade week. Now to Jason McCartney. Tom Scully found himself a Hawk yesterday, a bit of a bargain one as well. Very nicely done for a future fourth round pick. If his ankle can get right, he's definitely worth more than that. Here was Jason McCartney from GWS on the departing Tom Scully.
It was a really complex deal. Obviously, Tom, the bit of uncertainty around the injury of the ankle he sustained earlier this year. So that was a major thing in regards to that. Obviously, we've talked about we're under a little bit of cap pressure, so the combination of both is where it's landed. He's got to work through a few things with his ankle rehabilitation. There's no doubt about that. Hawthorn are fully aware with that, and they're prepared to back themselves in that area.
Jason McCartney, list manager, speaking yesterday up there at GWS. One of the intriguing stories throughout trade week has been the future of Tim Kelly. There are reports this morning that he is set to play on for the Cats and he's prepared to front up for training in November at the Cats if the deal doesn't go through with West Coast. Here's Stephen Wells from Geelong on where the Kelly deal sits at the moment.
Nothing's changed with regard to Tim. Our position's been very clear all the way from the start of the trade period, and at this stage, nothing's changed.
Do you expect it to get done eventually?
No, I don't at this stage, no. Oh, the deal can be done, but I don't expect it to get done. Far enough apart that I don't expect it to get done. Oh, look, we've got our value that we have on the trade in order for Tim Kelly, a fantastic young player in contract with us, to leave our club, and West Coast will have their value on it as well. And at the moment, we're not being able to meet in the middle.
Bitter news still coming up out of the Gold Coast, and that is surrounding the future of Stephen May. He has requested a trade back to Melbourne, not particularly concerned with which club it is, but he wants to head to Melbourne. Let's listen now to Craig Cameron from the Gold Coast, who is open to trading their co-captain.
Oh, look, he'd be happy to come to Melbourne if something was found, but it's up to the clubs now that are pursuing him to come up with something. So at this stage, they haven't. At the moment, we haven't had anything offered to us that could get the deal done. We've got, 30 hours to go or something like that. So I know there's a lot of machinations happening. He'd be happy to come to Melbourne if something was found, but it's up to the clubs now that are pursuing him to come up with something. So we're sort of at the end of that chain and we'll wait and see what happens.
More footy news to come in just a second. We'll hear from another Hawthorn recruit, Jack Scrimshaw, who made the move down from Gold Coast, and Jimmy Bartel's comments yesterday on Dan Menzel, whose future is still up in the air. Let's head now to the Sheffield Shield results, or end of day one play, actually, from yesterday. As I mentioned off the top, good news for Victoria. They were able to dismiss Western Australia over at the Wacker for just 208 in reply in their first innings. Victoria 3 for 153. They currently trail by 55 runs with 7 wickets remaining. Cameron White unbeaten at the crease on 14. And one of the stories that might emerge here, if we can go on with this, is Will Pekowski brought in straight into the Shield team into position 3, and he's 64 not out from 102 balls. And put that in comparison with WA, the highest score was Marcus Stoinis, who saved things with 80 as they were dismissed for 208. So Will Pekowski will be one to watch this afternoon. We'll definitely monitor how he goes over the next couple of days. The other two Shield games that kicked off to start round one of Shield action, Tasmania facing Queensland up in Brisbane. 5 for 257 Tasmania after Queensland won the toss and elected to field. Just running through the scorecard, the best of the batsmen for Tasmania, Alex Doolan, who made 115 before he was eventually dismissed. The best of the bowlers, George for Queensland, 3 for 42 from just over 20 overs. And in the final game that we haven't got to yet, New South Wales facing South Australia. This was fairly affected by rain. South Australia won the toss. They elected to field, and New South Wales at stumps, 3 for 124. But as I said, plenty of play lost yesterday because of the weather. Hughes made 60 at the top of the order. On Reeks, the not-out batsman at the crease, he's 41 not out. A couple of wickets for Joe Many, 2 for 14 from 10 overs. And Winter with the other scalp for South Australia. So plenty of Shield action to keep us entertained over the next few days. And as I mentioned, Will Pekowski, one to watch for the Victorians. Hopefully he can go on with things a little later on this afternoon. That match taking place over at the Wacker. So I've got to wait an extra couple of hours for play to get underway. Let's head now to racing news. And Chris Waller spoke yesterday after Winx's trot around Moonee Valley.
She went through her pace as well. Hugh Bowman was aboard, and he was very happy with the way she stretched out. She was loving it back at the valley, and she's just a natural around here, and that's certainly one of her, I guess, great assets. Wherever she goes, she adapts so quickly, but the way she gets around that bend and quickly balances up to get up the straight, it's quite remarkable.
Later on today, we'll hear the Caulfield Cup barrier draw as well. A couple of the favourites at the moment. Youngstar 4, Chris Waller, is at $5. It heads the market in front of the Cliffs of Moher at $7. Those two, the only single-figure horses you can get at the moment. We'll have to wait and see how things change after the barrier draw a little later on today, which is Blue Sapphire Stakes Day out at Caulfield, so make sure you head down if you're lucky enough to score the day off, and you'll be able to check out plenty of good racing action today, written by the $1.65 Blue Sapphire Stakes favourite, Encryption at $5, and Tony Nicconi at $7. So a pretty short favourite there, written by, for a little later on this afternoon. Now to some soccer news, and we are building up to the start of the A-League. Both Melbourne teams are in action against each other on Saturday night. The Victory facing Melbourne City at Etihad. He has become the traditional opener in Melbourne. And Richie Delatt, a man who's played only a couple of years ago for Manchester United, spoke ahead of his first experience in the A-League coming this Saturday.
We're excited. We're excited for the season to start, not just because it's a derby, but because it's been a long pre-season. So the boys have been jumping to the bits, really, to get the season started. And, you know, we've got 1 week of preparation in front of us now, and then on Saturdays it's go time.
Are you personally feeling, Richie? I mean, you've been involved in big clubs. I mean, are you a bit blasé going into a game like this, or...?
No, it's still an exciting time. Obviously, it's new for me as well. But I think as a group, you know, the preparation has gone really well, and we're ready for whatever Saturday may bring us.
Richie, you obviously played in the FFA Cup, I think, and also you have played in friendlies. What have you made of the A-League in your brief exposure to it so far?
No, it's been good. It's been quality. There's teams you've been playing against have been, you know, good teams, got some good players, quality's been really good as well, and you know, it was what I expected, really. You know, it's hard working, a lot of technical ability from players here as well, so just looking forward to the challenge ahead, like I said, not just Saturday the derby, but for the season ahead.
Richie Delatt there, who has played a lot of football in England, did play for Manchester United about 3 or 4 years ago, I reckon, and now finds himself at Melbourne City as one of the big recruits. Looking forward to seeing him in action in the A-League this season. To one other recruit who came last year but probably didn't have the season that he'd hoped, Eric Boatiak. He made his debut for the Brisbane Roar at the start of last season. He played Champions League football the season before that, so he's got plenty of quality as well. Although he's looking forward to hopefully displaying it a little more consistently in season 2018-19.
Yes, definitely better, because last season I arrived in late, but this season I feel okay. We had a good pre-season with my teammate, with the boss, with the staff, but now I'm very excited to starting this season.
Plenty to get through on the other side of this on the Breakfast Bite. When we come back, some NFL from yesterday. NBL, we'll hear from Andrew Gay, Sydney Kings coach. Plenty of news still bubbling around in the NRL too. And we'll get some reaction from one of the best stories in Australian sport, which took place yesterday. A couple of new recruits for the Socceroos who've made their way up the junior ranks after a pretty tough upbringing.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
He's been so good for so long with so many pressure kicks, and now this. Only fitting. A game winner for Mason Crosby.
Yeah, week's a long time. If you remember back last week, Mason Crosby for the Packers, missing 4 field goal attempts, a couple of really elementary ones there as well. Yesterday, he was the hero with the final play of the game, 33-30, the Packers defeating the 49ers, although it wasn't an entirely convincing performance. I'll be happy just to get the win on the board. And More NFL action coming up in a couple of days' time. The next game on Friday morning, the Cardinals taking on the Broncos. Let's hear from Mason Crosby, who, it's fair to say, was full of relief.
How good does this one feel?
Oh, man. Oh, I don't even know. I mean, that's obviously, awesome game to come back and bounce back. I was just hoping I'd get a lot of chances and help this team win, and I can't say much. I'm kind of broken up about it. I mean, my teammates, I mean, it's unreal, the support this week and the guys in the locker room, and we just stick together. I mean, what a gutsy win right there.
To the NBL now, and Sydney were a little bit inconsistent over the weekend, the opening weekend of action. Andrew Gaze, speaking yesterday, says the Kings can fix their problems pretty easily.
Anytime you lose a game in this league, you're going to be disappointed. I'd be upset if the players and all involved weren't disappointed. But I think that there's some real optimism about what can lie ahead. And one thing we did learn from the first round is that there are no gimmies. It's a very, very tight league. And it's going to be some significant challenge for that, for us. And we realise that. And I think the pleasing part about what happened to us on the weekend has been this week, the response, because you're always a little concerned about how it's going to affect morale, because they are disappointed and upset that they let a lot of fans down without getting the win. But I think that once we go through it and have a more pragmatic approach to it all and show them the video and show them the areas that we need to improve on and again look at the areas where there were just clear breakdowns, they understand that some of the stuff is fixable.
Andrew Gaze speaking there yesterday. Melbourne United back in action on the weekend as well. We'll catch up with Josh Boone from United on Friday on The Breakfast Club. To the NRL now, and the season continues if you're a representative for Australia. Now off to play Tonga, so it never ends. This is a season that started all the way back in early March, so very long year, especially for those players like Valentine Holmes who have played Origin football. He spoke yesterday about needing to step up after the Kangaroos lost to the Kiwis last week.
It's going to be another, you know, real tough one, and definitely had to step up our performance from last Saturday. Otherwise, if we, you know, put up something like that, they'd probably dish us up too. So, you know, we need to figure out what we did wrong in that last game and, you know, try and work on that. In a game like this, to a team like that you're playing, you can't really give them too much ball. They're all, like, you know, all elite players, and they've all played, you know, rep pretty together and all that stuff. So it shouldn't be too hard to gel too much, you know, a team like this. That's why you pick, because you can get out of your comfort zone from being in your club team and play for rep team. So, I thought all the other boys that play, they all played well. It's just more execution on the last pass.
Now to Parramatta. This is a really strange situation. Now, the fixture is going to be released next week by the NRL, and Bernie Gurr, who's the Parramatta CEO, explained yesterday on Fox Sports how the Eels don't actually have a stadium yet for next year. Take a listen.
Well, what's correct is we don't have a deal with Venues Live for the use of Western Sydney Stadium next year. What's predicated this is the fact that the NRL draw is imminent within the next week and a half. And obviously with that coming out, our members are interested in a definitive draw and where we're playing, etc. So we felt an obligation to go out to our members today publicly and let them give them a status, an update of where we're at with the negotiations. And the reality is, at the moment, that the position of our club and the position of Venues Live are quite a way apart.
Yeah, that's a very interesting situation. Hopefully something can be sorted within the next couple of weeks. To Jonathan Thurston now. He released his book yesterday and says Ben Barber, first of all, will be a huge in for the Cowboys next year.
The club's in really good shape for next year. Obviously, we'll get Morgo back. And Benny Barber, we all know what he can do on the football field, so I think he'll fit into our structures really well. And, you know, I don't think the boys will be having a year like they did last season. He's got a lot of speed. He can, you know, change the game in the blink of an eye, and, you know, that's what we probably lacked throughout this year. And he's got a bit of speed, so hopefully he can score some tries for us.
Jonathan Thurston speaking yesterday. To the soccer world now, and this is one of the best news, or one of the best news stories all year in terms of sport. Owen Mabil and Thomas Deng, both refugees who arrived in Australia. They both made their Socceroos debuts yesterday. And Owen Mabil was lucky enough to score as well. Here they were talking to Fox Sports yesterday.
Yeah, it was very special. You know, flashback 9 years ago, we were playing in the park together with our friends, and you know, we could never dream of this the way it happened today. So it's amazing that it has happened, and you know, we have to thank Australia for giving us this opportunity. And yeah, it's a big dream come true.
Thomas, what did it mean to you?
Yeah, as you said, we grew up together. We've known each other for almost 9 years or more now. So growing up in the same neighborhood, it's something that we should be very proud of, and the people that our families and the people that are close to us should be very proud of. Yeah, just hope to kick on and do them proud even more.
What was it like seeing this man score in his debut to top it all off?
I actually told him that he was going to score just before he was going to come on. So, yeah, I'm very happy for him. He's opened doors. We both opened doors to a lot of young Africans coming up. And, yeah, just I hope, yeah, there's more to come.
We'll see plenty more from Thomas Deng for the Melbourne Victory this year as well. Now to the rest of the trade news from yesterday. As you heard before, Aaron Hall and Jack Scrimshaw both out of the Suns and heading to North Melbourne and Hawthorn respectively. A couple of other trades took place yesterday. Gold Coast traded in George Hall and Smith from Geelong for pick number 64. Richmond traded Tyson Stengel to the Adelaide Crows for its fourth round selection, which is currently number 68. GWS sent Tom Scully to Hawthorn for its 2019 future fourth-round selection. And Taylor Duray left the Hawks, dual premiership player. He's off to the Western Bulldogs for its 2019 future round four selection. So a little bit of movement, but expecting a fair bit on the final day in trade week. Let's listen now to Jimmy Bartel, first of all, on one of those intriguing stories. Daniel Menzel, where will he end up?
Played 51 games in the last 3 years, so 17 a year, which is a pretty good strike rate for someone, you know, always the question mark is about his body. And he can't be blamed for the last one when the injection went into the wrong spot for the groin, fifth in the common. And the other thing, and we raised this with clubs paying overs for essentially the second or third forward, Dan Menzel's last 51 games, he's kicked 101 goals. Now, if you took out the history and you just put on a magnet, 2 goals a game, would you take that in your forward line? You're going to get him below whatever the average wage is being reported. So we take flyers and experiments on guys who've never seen the game before, who do have, you know, bigger issues with their injuries. We've just laid out that he's averaging 17 games a year. Now, whatever deal you do, you can put plenty of protection mechanisms in place with your contract anyway. You just put the 16 or 17 game, you know, clause in there. Clubs now just wait to see who's left in the delisted free agent market, so they don't have to compete with picks or anything like that. They'll just see what's around. Can we fill out, you know, our last list spots, our last senior list spots, or even potentially as the mature age rookie.
Jimmy Bartel speaking yesterday. Plenty to come on the Breakfast Club. In case you missed the cricket overnight, Nathan Lyon became Australia's fourth highest test wicket taker with 314 scalps, passing Mitchell Johnson as he took 4 for 78. Pakistan all out, 282. And Australia ended day two at 2 for 20. More discussion with that with John Hastings after 8 o'clock this morning. Madjack Doyle of Agos, Tom Slingsby, Lisa Alexander, Duncan McKenzie McCarg, and the Early Mail all on their way with Half Whitey and Terrell after the 6 o'clock news.
That was RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.